Welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, and now it's time to go to the full phones. I'm joined by my phone sidekick, Diana Yoakum. Diana, welcome.
Thanks, David.
Our personal finance expert here at the Motley Fool. Give us a call.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, and we're going to Charlotte, North Carolina, where Mary is on the line. Hi, Mary.
Yes. Hello.
How are you?
Very well.
Good. What's on your mind today?
I have it's something I can't figure out. A 1988, I bought 200 shares of Bell's House, 200 shares of Duke Power, and I now have like 1,500 shares of one, 1,200 the other through a dividend reinvestment. And once upon a time, you just hold those and go on and on and on, leave them to your estate.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't know, and I wondered if I should sell or hold.
Okay, so two stocks, and many of us have heard of these companies, might be customers of one or more of them, Bell's House. And Duke, you said Duke Power, maybe, I think they've even taken on the name Duke Energy
then,
Mary.
Yes.
That's right. But I was attending university at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, back in that year, in fact, and it was Duke Power back then.
Yes.
And Mary, it's a good question. You're asking a question, Diana, about are these buy and hold stocks, these buy and forget utilities that we all heard that was the right thing to own, are they still that?
Right. What was your thought behind buying these in 1988?
Well, I had a lot of small amounts of stocks, 30 of this, 15 of that, and so I sold those and had money to invest, and those were two companies I knew I looked into, and they were good.
Okay, so there are companies that you liked, companies
yes.
you felt comfortable investing your money in, and companies that you thought you'd stick with
yeah,
for the long term. Okay.
And, right. I mean, let's get the proper perspective here. We're talking about these companies 17 years later. So,
yeah.
In fact, these have been good long-term holdings of yours. Bell South, which I want to talk about first, is maybe not as well positioned today. In fact, Bell South is probably the one of these two that I would sell today mm-hmm. if I had a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other part of it we can talk about. But, you know, Bell South is a company that is in the unspectacular business of telecommunication services. I say that because it's a very challenged field today. That good old Ma Bell is gone, and a lot of this business model, the copper wire business, is going away. Voice over internet protocol, voice over IP, if you've heard that, or maybe even use it yourself, Mary, that is kind of the new coming wave. It's using the internet and the pipe that goes into your house via the internet for your phone instead of using the copper wire.
Yes.
And that's really hurting the former Baby Bell. So mm-hmm. Bell South, from my standpoint, is a company that is extremely challenged in this business environment and one that I'm not as interested in holding on to just because I don't quite see what this grows up into. Now, Duke Energy, on the other hand, looks better just because in contrast to what's happening to Bell South, in which its business is being devalued and ripped apart by competitors,
yeah.
Duke Energy, on the other hand, sits on a whole bunch of natural gas. And I don't know if anybody else has checked the gas pump lately or just the price of oil in general the last few years.
Yes.
But you can see it's quite a valuable holding, a valuable asset that they're sitting on.
Yes.
And in fact, just trying to figure out what tree this grows up into. I mean, the value of natural gas is probably not going to go down much from here over the course of the next 20 years. I mean, maybe it will. It could be that we are in a temporary price boom because of the insecurity in the world at large. But in general, this is a dear resource. Duke Energy has some control over it, and this is a company that benefits from that. So dividends today being paid on the stock in the 4 to 5% range, and it's a stock I would continue holding. So I'm giving you my sort of basic read on these two companies. I will say that these are both one sort of a stock, which I call an income stock. I mean, these are companies that are paying you dividends, Mary.
Yes.
Are you using those dividends?
No, I reinvest them.
You are reinvesting them, which I think is great, and that's the way you've built up your holdings in these stocks over time.
Yes.
Are you doing that outside of a retirement account or within a retirement account?
Outside.
Okay, so if you were to sell Bell South, you will be paying a substantial capital gain.
That's what I was wondering too, yeah.
And so you have to ask yourself whether you think you'll recoup that in this next investment, how long it might take you to, and it sounds as if you may even be leaving these stocks one day to somebody else, so maybe it's not as important to you.
Oh, that's what my original intention was, but the idea has changed since then, really, in terms of you used to be able to just leave them and say, here, this is for you, and it would grow, but now I'm not sure.
If, in fact, this was money that you yourself were going to need and be using within the next 5 years, I would probably tell you just to hold on to BellSouth and sell that off as you need it. If, on the other hand, you're thinking, hey, I may or may not use this money and I may leave this to somebody else one day still, and I just want to have it well invested, I would probably say sell BellSouth.
Would it make a difference? I'm in my 80s, so does that make a difference?
I don't think it does, because
no.
If in the end you're trying to make the best decision about this money, the real question is, are you needing to use this yourself? We certainly take many calls from people who maybe haven't been as diligent and patient as you have with their savings over the course of time and have a little bit more, in contrast to your situation, more of a desperate need for that money to use it, you know, within the near or intermediate term. It doesn't feel like that's the case for you.
No.
Let me give you two ideas, Mary, just to close, because I was having a conversation with Matthew Emmert, who is our income investor expert here at The Motley Fool the other day, and talking about companies that, what are sort of the new, these are companies that you can hold for 20 years companies, you know, because the Bells aren't that anymore.
Right.
And two names he threw out, one is the Southern Company, and the other is Great Plains Energy. These are utilities that pay dividends and interest. Southern has a ticker symbol SO on the New York Stock Exchange, and Great Plains Energy has the ticker symbol GXP on the New York Stock Exchange. And Matthew Emmert was underlining these as companies that are reliable and have good dividends.
All righty. Thank you very much.
So I'm not here to say sell BellSouth and go right into those, Mary, but I am here to say that if you are the decision maker on your portfolio, take a look. If you get help from a broker, find out what he or she thinks of those ideas. Those are a couple of our ideas. Thank you very much for providing your perspective, and I hope we were helpful.
Oh, you were. Thank you very much.
Very best wishes.
Same to you.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, 866-677-3665. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Rob, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
What's on your mind today?
Well, my wife and I are at closing at this very moment, as a matter of fact, on the selling of our house. Actually, we're buying the house. We sold the house yesterday.
Wow. Okay, so you sold your house yesterday, and you are right now calling us live from a closing on your new house?
That's right. I just stepped outside of the boardroom. They're in there signing papers.
Is this a radio first?
This is a first for this show. I'm not sure we should be taking up Rob's time, though, pointing out things like that. Rob, there sounds like there's probably some urgency here.
Of sorts. My question involves kind of just some advice as to what to do with the proceeds from it, and it's also combined with some other funds that we've come across recently. I was in a car accident last July, and the settlement just came in for just over $5,200. And that obviously is a good thing. And then from the sale of the house yesterday, we got about $20,000 or so. And so just some advice about what to do with that money. I have some ideas, but wanted to kind of run them by you and see what you thought.
So you're at a transitional point in your life here. You have this car settlement payment that happens to be twinned, really, with proceeds from the sale of your house, which occurred just yesterday. So now you have sort of a lump sum beyond just buying your new house, which you're in the process of, that you're wondering how do you invest that money?
Exactly. Now, we do have a good chunk of credit card debt. But we're also interested in maybe putting a little bit away for the kids' education, maybe a little bit away for retirement. And next year's our 10-year anniversary, and we'd always wanted to go to San Francisco to have our anniversary there and never knew how we were ever going to pay for it. And then when all this came about, we thought, well, maybe putting a little bit of that away for that would be a wise thing, and then use the rest of it, obviously, to pay down the credit card debt.
This is great. You're going on a shopping spree in your head, and that's the first place that you should do so, not the actual mall, but the at the mall of life with this money.
Exactly.
So how much credit card debt do you have?
It's probably all total, probably about $23,000.
Okay, that's significant. And
yes, it is.
Even if your interest rates are very low, credit card debt makes me really nervous because those interest rates can fluctuate greatly. If you're late with one bill payment to whatever lender, all of your lenders, there's a clause in that contract, they can raise your interest rates just based on that.
And let me ask you, actually, Rob, because beyond just that, and I agree and I respect that, Dana, that's important, there can kind of grow up in our lives a culture of feeling like we're in credit card debt. Mm-hmm. Rob, how long have you and your wife been in credit card debt?
We've been married coming up on 9 years, so probably nine coming up on 10 years.
Right. So there's something to be said, by the way, for just cracking that nut. I mean, that's a pretty good coming up on our 10th anniversary moment. If you could get beyond that permanently, I don't want to make that sound as if it's as romantic or memorable as a trip to San Francisco for your 10th anniversary. But I will say this, for a lot of us, we get into a culture of being in credit card debt, and it's hard to break out of that. In fact, I was speaking to a group of students the other day pointing out that $1,000, if you just make the minimum monthly payment that your credit card company is asking you to make, typically, if you just make that payment on $1,000 of credit card debt, you will eventually get out of that debt about 18 years later. Now, that's if you're just making the minimum monthly payment. But now if you start thinking in terms of, well, $22,000 of credit card debt, you can see that for a lot of us, it's really hard to get beyond that.
Absolutely. Well, and also if we pay down that credit card debt substantially, then my wife's stress level will greatly reduce. So it'll be like having a permanent vacation.
Yeah, right. You know, there's nothing more romantic than saying, honey, I paid off the credit card.
Let me say right now, her stress level is your stress level, at least to a certain
That's
extent.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, I think, you know what, this is a great opportunity that a lot of people who are in credit card debt don't always have. It's a lump sum payment where, in your case, you get to pay off the wedding cake that you ate, you know, 10 or 11 years ago. You clear the slate, and then every dollar that you're able to save from now on, that's a plus. That's in the plus category. You can invest it for your future. So it's nice to think about the kids and their education, and it's great that you're thinking about retirement now, but all of that takes a backseat to credit card debt.
I think, just to close, it's important to note that every dollar saved, once that credit card debt is paid off, and darn it, keep it that way, becomes a green dollar, not a red dollar. Not something you're trying to pay back, but something that really is growing the family and the capital that you have for your opportunities going forward. So that's where I would be right now. And by the way, where you are right now is closing on your house, and I think we should let you get back to that. Good luck on that. Let us know how the new place works out. Give us a call, but I think you've heard a pretty clear message from us.
I think so. I appreciate your assistance.
Congratulations, Rob.
Thanks.
Good luck.
And that wraps up the Fool Phones for this week.
Thank you once again, Diana.
Thanks, David.
The Fool Phone Lines are always open for your financial questions and comments. 866-NPR-FOOL.